Media loves to talk about the skills gap. Headlines shout about new generations of graduates that lack the necessary skills to be employable. Pundits balk at the percentage of jobs that go unfilled because companies lack qualified applicants, while millions of people search for jobs. My next guest decided to tackle the supposed skills gap to find its roots and possible solutions. In his new book, Why Good People Can't Get Jobs, The Skills Gap and What Companies Can Do About It, Peter Capelli argues that it's the companies, not the workforce, causing the problem. Peter Capelli is a professor of management at the Wharton School of Business and a columnist on workforce issues. Welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Thank you.
And this is a personal issue for you, we should say. Your son graduated from college with a degree in classics, and he couldn't find a job. Maybe no surprise there. So he actually went back to school to pursue a healthcare-related degree because that's where the jobs were supposed to be. Tell us what happened and how his situation led you to investigate the skills gap.
Well, his situation was he thought he wanted to go to medical school, and we said, well, before you think about that, maybe you should get your hands dirty in this field a bit. So he went to a community college and got a entry-level healthcare certificate, we thought, phlebotomy degree or certificate, that's blood drawing, and you know, seems to be a skill that's used virtually everywhere in healthcare. It turns out that they're not hiring anybody with that certificate unless you've already got substantial experience, and that was true in New Orleans where he was, and came to Philadelphia. And what we discovered here as well is that you either need experience or you need another certificate. That is what providers are doing, is they're combining jobs, not just phlebotomy, but you need another certificate as well, at least two, in order to get hired for things. So it wasn't quite what he expected. And I guess I should say that I was interested in this before his experience, and largely because I was hearing, as you just discussed, all these stories about employers who said they couldn't find jobs. And, you know, if you think in the lines of economics, or couldn't find candidates, rather, if you think along the lines of economics, you know, you're always thinking, why could there be a shortage? Shouldn't the market adjust? And also, when you hear people complaining about not enough applicants or not the right ones, and you see millions of people looking for jobs who were employed just a little while ago, you wonder what's up.
Listeners, do you, as a job seeker or as an employer, find yourself on either side of the skills gap? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And I guess the bottom line for you is that you argue that what companies and the media label as the skills gap actually isn't a skills gap at all, correct?
Yeah, I think that's right. What has changed over time, if you went back a generation or so ago, you never heard any of these stories. Even when the labor markets were really tight in the 1960s, you never heard anything like this. If you look around the world, the U.S. employers in the U.S. complain more about skills problems, skills shortage, than company or countries in Europe, for example, where the unemployment rate is only 3%. So in the U.S., where we have tons more applicants per job, we have much more complaints about this. So something is up. And what is up, I think, is that what employers are looking for when they are hiring and what they claim they can't find is really work experience. That is, it's not that they can't find smart people and smart college graduates. They're looking for candidates who can come immediately into the job and make a contribution today. So they don't want to do any training for people. They don't want to give them any ramp-up time. They're looking for somebody who can immediately do the job. And what that means in practice is they're looking at somebody, they want to find a candidate who is currently doing the same job for somebody else. So they don't want to look at people who are unemployed. So if you don't have a job, you're in some big trouble. Now, I guess we can't blame employers for being really picky, but let's just not say that there's something wrong with the workforce because of that. That's not the story.
But, you know, there are specific areas in which they say people are not trained. I'm looking at a news story from over the weekend right now from a newspaper called the Keene Sentinel. And it says, for more than 2.5 years, Tidland Corporation in Keene, I'm not sure if this is Keene, New Hampshire, this might be in the Northwest, has been looking to fill a single job. It might seem a simple task in the economy, find a worker able to program computer numerical control machines for $15 to $21 an hour and full benefits. But the Washington-based steel shaft manufacturer says despite interest in the position, it's hard to find anyone with the programming skills, or even the foundation to learn them. And then it says, Tidland's situation is not unique. A dearth of new workers with even basic math and mechanical knowledge, never mind programming skills, has area manufacturers searching. And we hear stories like this from around the country. So how much is it made up?
Well, on that one, for example, typically this story is about machinists. They're looking for people to do machinist sort of jobs, and they don't want them to be regular machinists, though. They want them to be a combination of machinist and computer programmer. So it's an example of needing what used to be two different people with two different skill sets, and now you want to do it with one person. And as you heard there, we hear another part of the story, and they're looking for somebody to do this job at about $15 an hour. The national pay rate for that job is $19 an hour. So part of the story in a lot of these places, and I'd say in almost all of them, is simply not being either willing or able to pay the market wage. Right? So if you are one of these employers or you're investigating the story, I always find it interesting to ask the question, have you tried raising your wages? Because that's how markets work, right? If it's difficult to find somebody with these skills, you would expect, if it was really a shortage, the price to go up. If you think, for example, about diamonds, right, diamonds are very expensive, but there's no shortage of diamonds. If you've got enough money and you want to buy them, you can buy all you want. But if you're not willing to pay the market price for diamonds, you can't find any. And in cases like this, I think that's partly the story, is that, they're looking for somebody who has got good computer skills, which in another context are worth a lot of money, and they don't want to pay them anywhere near what those skills are worth, and yet they can't find anybody to do the job. Not surprised.
Our time, unfortunately, is very short as we're nearing the end of the hour, but I want to get at least one caller in. Our board is actually full of people saying, me, this sounds like me, like Brenda in Summers, New York. Brenda, you're on WNYC. Hello. What's your story?
Well, I'm a medical assistant. I've been one for 25 years, and also a medical receptionist. And I recently found myself since March, actually for the last year, out of work. And for the first time in almost 30 years, very difficult to find work. The competition out there is fierce.
Is it relevant to what somebody might call a skills gap?
I suppose so, but I'm trained on, right now I'm not a certified MA, and that is making the difference. I'm sure I'll be starting a program in September. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, I've gotten myself certified on phlebotomy and EKG. But I guess there's just such a glut of unemployed people like myself that, right. They're just...
It's a hirer's market. Brenda, good luck out there. Does Brenda's story play at all, briefly, Peter, into what you're writing about?
I think so. She was describing she got a couple of new healthcare certificates and still can't find a job. I think, the idea that there are big shortages in healthcare, which we heard a couple of years ago, may have been true. Again, I don't think it's always a shortage. I think it's just expensive, tight labor markets. But people poured into those programs, So one of the things that happens is people adjust. Students really do try to figure out where the jobs are. People who don't have jobs do go back and try to find training. There's another part of this, too, which might be worth a brief conversation, and that's the idea about the hiring practices, that because hiring companies get so many applicants, they need to screen them electronically. And when they do that, it's easy to miss people who might be able to do the job, because they don't have precisely the job title, or they don't have exactly the credential, or maybe they've got the experience across two different positions and they can't see it in the software.
We have just a minute left. What advice, then, would you give to Brenda and others who find themselves in the positions that you really are writing about with the so-called skills gap?
Well, I think the best single piece of advice is nothing new, and that is to see if you can get past software and get to a person and explain to them why you can do the job. That's probably the best piece of advice. I think the second piece of advice, if you have to deal with automated systems, is to make sure that you're saying exactly what you think the job requires precisely the way you think they might want it. I'd say the final piece of advice, though, is for employers, and that is to say, do you really think you're saving money by keeping positions unfilled? Wouldn't it be better to raise your wages a little bit and get the people you want, or be willing to train them a little bit to get somebody who could do the job now rather than leaving the position vacant for months and months and months?
Peter Capelli from the Wharton School of Business has written Why Good People Can't Get Jobs, The Skills Gap, and What Companies Can Do About It. Thank you very much.
Thank you.